Well, we're hearing about Jesus coming into the world. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And as you've been studying the Easter story and the different characters, Christmas story, excuse me, you've been considering, I'm sure, why Jesus came. You know, there are a number of verses in the Bible that tell us why Jesus came into the world. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, the Apostle Paul said. And he said, and I'm the worst of them. If God could save me, he could save anybody. In Luke chapter 19, when Jesus was visiting Zacchaeus, remember Zacchaeus, the little man who climbed up the tree to see Jesus? Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house for dinner. Have you ever had anybody do that? Invite themselves to your house for dinner? Isn't that fun? Well, after Jesus spoke to him there, Zacchaeus just had a whole change of heart. And Jesus said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's one reason why Jesus came into the world. That's why he left heaven. He was born in a stable and laid in a manger. That's why he became one of us. So that he could seek and save the lost. You know, little Rusty the Nail, he represents the lost. He represents people that have no reason for living, no purpose in life. They've been abused. They've been discarded. Society sees no value in them whatsoever. You know, there are a lot of people like that. You see them homeless. You see them bound by drugs or alcohol or other evil habits. We see them a lot in the city. And yet there are also people that are lost and they're broken on the inside. They might be working right alongside you at work or going to the same school that you go to. And maybe they're putting on a good show and acting very happy. But deep down in their hearts, they feel so empty and so lost and so broken and so sad. You know, Jesus came into the world to find those people. The people that everybody else forgot about. And to show his love to them and restore them and make them new and make something beautiful out of their life. Sometimes we sing a chorus, something beautiful, something good, all my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful out of my life. And we've seen Jesus do that over and over again. Take people that were broken and lost and hopeless. And Jesus came into their hearts and he made a new person out of them completely. And he gave them a reason to live. He gave them a purpose and made them a blessing. I think of someone like Nikki Cruz. You ever hear of Nikki Cruz? He was a gang member in New York City many, many years ago. And when the Lord sent David Wilkerson to the city to bring the gospel to these gang members, Nikki Cruz was one of the leaders. And he was very violent and very scary. And he hated David Wilkerson. He didn't want to hear about Jesus. But somehow, as David Wilkerson continued to reach out to him, it wasn't David Wilkerson, it was Jesus inside him reaching out to these poor lost souls. One time, David Wilkerson was talking, and Nikki Cruz slapped him right in the face. Took out his knife. Said, I'll kill you. You keep talking to me about Jesus. And David Wilkerson said, Nikki, you can cut me in a million pieces. And every one of those pieces will say, I love you. Nikki Cruz never heard of a love like that. We love people that love us. But David Wilkerson loved Nikki Cruz even when Nikki Cruz hated him. Now, he was a fellow that, he was a gang member. He had, gang members don't usually live too long. They got into a lot of gang fights. They got into a lot of evil lifestyles and so on. But God wanted to get hold of that young man. And one day the Holy Spirit revealed to him how much Jesus loved him, how precious he was to Jesus. And the Lord saved him, and the Lord raised him up to be a preacher. And God sent him all over the world to preach to thousands and thousands of people and to show them that Jesus can take a bent, rusty nail and straighten him out and make a new person out of him completely and use him for God's glory. Jesus said, "You have not chosen me," John 15:16, "but I've chosen you and ordained or appointed you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain." Just the way Jesus chose that little nail, right, lying on the floor. Jesus went and picked him up and said, "I can use this nail in a very special way." You know, you're here at Pilgrim Camp because Jesus is choosing you. He chose for you to come to Pilgrim Camp this summer. There's a lot of kids that can't get to camp, and a lot of kids that don't even know about a Pilgrim Camp. But Jesus chose you to be here. Children, adults. He chose you to hear the gospel message that Jesus loves you, that he died for you, that you can ask him to come into your heart, that he can wash away all your sins and be your Lord and Savior, that he has a will for your life, that he wants to use you and make your life really count for the years that you're here on earth. And so Jesus chose you to hear these things, to be among people that know him, to be in the presence of God, and when we worship him, to feel his love and his peace, and to make himself real to us. And when Jesus chooses us, then we have to choose him, don't we? We have to respond. I told people that I work in a school, part-time job. I work in a junior high school. And sometimes I'm alone in the hall, especially when the kids are having tests. They want me to just walk up and down the hall just in case a kid needs help or the teacher needs help. And so I get my exercise. It's like working out in the gym, but I get paid for it. Pretty good. And as I'm walking up and down the hall, I pray. And I sing. And I say, "Lord, you sent me here to bring the love of Jesus to these people." And I found out there are other Christians that the Lord has sent there too. And one day I pray, because there are some kids that are Muslim, and there are some kids that are Jewish, and there are some kids that don't believe in God, and there are some kids that are Hindu, and I pray, "Lord, let every one of these kids have a chance to hear the gospel somewhere in their life. Let every one of them have a chance to hear that there's a Jesus who loves them and who died for them." And so God chose you to hear that story and to make his love real to you. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1:26-29, I'll read this to you from the New Living Translation. "Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in this world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy," that means high-born, "when God called you. Instead, God chose those the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose those that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose those that are despised by the world, those counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God." Jesus goes after those ones that the world wants nothing to do with anymore. But they feel they're useless and just taking up space. Jesus goes after them especially. But Jesus loves all of us. He loves the successful people, the rich people, poor people, lost people. And then, after Jesus chooses us and we choose him, and we give our lives to him, then Jesus begins to straighten us out and clean us up. If we confess our sins, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you done that? Have you said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. My life does not measure up to what God wants of me. And it never could. I can't change myself. Sometimes I try to be good, but it doesn't last too long. Sometimes I try to turn over a new leaf. At New Year's, I make new resolutions. They only last until the next month. I need you to change me, Lord. I need power outside myself to make me the person that God wants me to be. I remember as a young boy, maybe some of your age, I began to feel that my life was not pleasing God, that I was not ready for heaven, that I didn't love God the way I should. And so I said, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for all of my sins. There's more sins than I even realize. And I can't get rid of them myself. I can't change the things I've done in the past. They're in the past. But Lord, you can forgive all my sins. And you can make my heart clean. You can come and live inside me and make me your child. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, if you come into a relationship with Jesus, if you invite him into your life, he'll make a new creation out of you. He'll make a new person out of you. All the things of the past, God wipes away and he puts under his precious blood. He never holds them against you ever again. And he begins to do something new in your life. He starts to make you more like Jesus. He starts to fill you with his love, his kindness, his patience, his purity, his innocence, his holiness. And people look at you and they say, what happened to you? I remember when you were just a bent up, rusty nail. And now, you're totally different. Wouldn't it be nice if you went back to school after this summer and people began to notice there's something different about you? What happened to you? You don't talk the way you used to talk. You don't treat people the way you used to treat them or the way everybody else treats them. You're even kind to the substitute teacher. Well, that's a real sign of a change, right? And then you might have a chance to tell them, oh, yeah, something happened to me this summer. I'm not the same person that I was last year. I met the Savior. And Jesus came into my heart, and he's making a new person out of me completely. And the things I used to love, I don't love them anymore. I don't want anything to do with those things. And there are new things that have come into my life that I love far more. Oh, he's making everything about me new. We heard a brother testify in church last night. It was such a blessing. He had come to camp, and he thought he was a Christian, but when he came to camp and came under the teaching and was in the presence of God, he realized that he really wasn't serving God the way he should. But then he went back home, and he talked to his wife, and he said, we got to do things differently. Jesus has spoken to me, and he wants me to really live for him, and he wants our family to really serve him. And so we got to get rid of some things that don't glorify God, and we got to get more involved in seeking God and getting to church. And oh, what a wonderful change came into his heart when Jesus came. And God is still making wonderful changes in all of us, isn't he?
Amen, amen, amen.
So God calls us, and then he cleanses us and straightens us out. And then God uses us. You know, God has a plan for every one of you. God brought you into this world, and he has a reason why he brought you here. And we need to find out what that is. We only have one chance to find it out. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. I don't believe in reincarnation. You know what that is? That's that if you die, then you'll come back in another form and get a chance to do it over again. The Bible says it's appointed once for man to die, and after that, the judgment. No reincarnation, no coming back, no purgatory, no trying to make up for your past mistakes. Now is the time. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the time to ask Jesus into your life. You've got one life. The most important thing is that you find Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then you find out why he brought you into this world, and you ask God to help you to do his will. Jesus wants us to serve him, and we serve Jesus often by serving other people. You know, those that are on staff that are working so hard, and we really do appreciate it. You're serving God. You're not just dutifully fulfilling your obligations here at camp. But if you really do it with the right attitude, you're serving God. And God takes notice of that. When you set the table, when you sweep the floor, when you mow the lawn, when you boil the water, whatever you're doing, when you wash the pots or the pillowcases, not in the same sink. You're serving God. And you're making it possible for us to enjoy our time at camp and seek the Lord in these days. And Jesus said, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came, here's another reason why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save the lost. But here he says, I came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus wants us to follow his example. He came into this world, and he didn't just snap his fingers and get everybody to serve him and make life easy for him and give him everything he wanted. Now, here was God himself coming into the world, and what did he do? Instead of getting us to wait on him, he waited on us. He served everywhere he went. He served. He sacrificed for people. He reached down to where they were to lift them up. He healed. He healed broken hearts. He loved and strengthened and encouraged those that were discouraged. And he made them to know that there's hope for them. Don't believe what people say. God loves you, and God has a plan for your life. And God can make your life count for something. Even still, no matter how badly you've messed up, God can make a masterpiece out of you. That's what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians. We are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ so we can do the good things that he has planned for us long ago. And so God has a plan for your life, and most of you are young and you have not fully understood, right? You don't understand fully what God wants to do with your life. Well, when you're really young, the Bible says, children, obey your parents. That's what you're supposed to do with your life when you're a child. Jesus wants you to learn to obey your parents and to be good in school. Because as you get older, you'll be better able to trust and obey Jesus when you learn obedience, submitting to authority, and so on. I have some of those kids in school. There's a fella in school, he was in eighth grade. I'll tell you his first name. His first name was Sky. And I looked up to him. No. His name was Sky. And I got to know him because he never went to class. He was always walking them through the hall. Sky, what are you doing here? Where are you supposed to be? Oh, I don't know, I've got no clue to... Whatever. I said, well, don't hang out in my hole. Go hang out in someone else's hole. But I'd see him walk in the holes all the time. And this guy graduated this year, by the way. Now he's going to go to high school. There are bigger holes there, I guess. But I felt bad for him. I tried to talk to him sometimes. I tried to encourage him. I said, Sky, you got a lot of good stuff in you. You gotta really apply yourself. I told him I prayed for him. And I do. But now he's going to go to high school, and he's going to go sit in the class, and he won't have a clue as to what anybody's talking about, because he never went to class in junior high school. And so he'll start walking the halls there. Maybe he'll quit school. This guy goes into the bathroom. And I know that he's in there for the wrong reason, because when he comes out, there's a little cloud that follows him. I said, Sky, come on. Nobody has to be in the bathroom that long. And so you look at these kids sometimes, and you already realize, unless they learn about God and God gets hold of them, you can see that their life is going to go down. But there's no hope for them unless God intervenes. But God has a plan. God has a plan for all of your lives. For the nail in his plan was to hold Jesus' sandal on his foot so Jesus could do the work of his kingdom. And when we do what God wants us to do, somehow we allow Jesus, his kingdom to come, and his will to be done. As we get older, God begins to reveal to us more of what he wants to do with our life, how he wants to use us, and he opens doors for us to do that. And then, every once in a while, we get our eyes off of Jesus. Along the way, we get covered over with dust, and we get distracted. We look at things in the world, they look attractive to us. We get our eyes off the Lord, and the devil tempts us, and then we start neglecting to live the way Jesus wants us to live and seek the things that Jesus wants us to seek, and we start getting interested in the things of the world. Hollywood and movie stars and certain singers and different things like that. And then we start, all of our time is all taken up with those things instead of seeking God. And so every once in a while we need Jesus to dust us off and clarify our vision and help us to get our eyes back on him. And he restores us, and he renews us, and he does a new thing in our life. Maybe you came up to Pilgrim Camp and you're a little dusty, and you don't have a clear sight of Jesus. Maybe you got involved in a lot of things that maybe weren't exactly what God wanted for you. But Jesus brought you up here to dust you off and to restore you, get you back into the place where he wants you to be. And then the last thing is that Jesus will reward us. When this life is over, life is just beginning. Jesus is coming back to take us to heaven, to be with him forever. And the Lord's going to say to his servant, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful that one day when we stand before the Lord, if we were faithful to do the thing he wanted us to do, maybe other people didn't think it was important, but Jesus, it was important to him. And if we were faithful, Jesus will reward us. And maybe there'll be a closer place in heaven, closer to Jesus, for those that were faithful to him, and will be with him forever. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. Just living for Jesus and enjoying his presence forever. Praise God. And so our prayer is that God will work in all of us so that one day when this life is over, we'll hear those words, well done. Good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Well, we still have time to do something about that, and Jesus is here to give us all the help we need. And so let's take these words very seriously. I know that my little story was a make-believe story, but I hope there was a a message there for us. Something beautiful out of my life. That's what God wants to do. Let's sing number 457, and then we'll be dismissed. Let's stand together as we sing 457. Sing the chorus again. Remember, the wristbands are by the doors. That the reminder needs to tell you to take one, please. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence, Lord, for your Spirit which dwells among and in us. We thank you for the wonderful work that we see you doing, Lord. And we just commit all these children, this time, the staff, everyone here, Lord, to you. Faithfully, Lord, knowing that you are the one who does the work, Lord. And we just pray. We pray that you do it. Continue to work. Continue to minister in each heart, Lord, each mind, even in each body, Lord Jesus. Do a great thing, we pray, a thing that each will remember and have for the rest of their lives, Lord. We call to you, Lord. We look to you, and we pray these things in your name, Jesus. We thank you and praise you, Lord. Amen.
Let's do that chorus one more time, okay?